Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that it refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, last hour, Sam and Kurt broke it down. We talked about Kavanaugh's chances now, 50-50, writes Larry Klayman of Freedom Watch. Given the cowardly Republicans, Dirtball, the late hit on Judge Kavanaugh, Patrick J. Buchanan, ignore charges against Judge Kavanaugh, Dennis Prager, and then Sam Bushman with regards to Kavanaugh. Are we going to create a society where there's just division and destruction, mutual just meltdown destruction? Or are we going to create a society that looks to Jesus Christ, who performed the greatest act in history, the atonement, which means that the principles of repentance and forgiveness come to the table for solutions? I submit to you that we don't have a society where people can be repenting and forgiving one another. That's the problem. What if this lady's making a false allegation? Could she admit it and repent and be forgiven by Judge Kavanaugh? What about the tables turned? Judge Kavanaugh has lived a great public life. If he did make an indiscretion as a teenager, can he be forgiven? Can he admit it and apologize and repent and be forgiven? Will our society let those things happen? If not, that's the problem. And I submit to you that when we ignore the principles of God, this principle of forgiveness and repentance, or repentance and forgiveness, these principles that make not only America great, but people great everywhere in the world, we could actually have a path forward with healing in its wings, if you will, for everyone. Right? What do they call that? A balm of Gilead? Is that what it's called, Kurt?
I think that's what
maybe I'm kind of confused, but I'm just saying, it seems to me like we need a little bit of that here. And whether it's Bill Clinton, whether it's the girls that are accusing him, whether it's, what if Barack Obama could say, you know what, I did lie about my birth certificate. I'm so sorry. I love America. I did grow up here. My father was an actual communist, and I didn't want that, you know, stigma to be upon me. He believed in those communist principles. I don't, but I didn't want it to ruin my chances to be president or whatever. Okay, what if he could admit it and repent? We can know the truth, and there was forgiveness. We could say, well, you were already president. It's too late. Sometimes it's too late to do anything about the problem, Kurt. Look, if Barack did fake his birth certificate, he was president. It's already over and done. But we can have the truth, and we can be free from it. Right? So Sam suggests, well, I more than suggest, Sam doubles down on the principles of repentance and forgiveness. All right, Christians urged not to call God a he, writes a female bishop of the Church of England. Kurt, Joe Kovacs has the piece. Did you see this, Kurt?
I think I saw the headline. I just thought, man, it's more the attack on religion, Sam.
Yeah.
Seems like.
Are we going to let this stand, Kurt?
Well, I don't know how to, be more specific about the fact that, you know, Scripture's pretty, you know, certain. It talks about men and women, and God has, you know, an identity. And it talks about, you know, so many things, but all that, see, is, like, if you go like this guy and go against it, then he's going to get some coverage, you know. Otherwise, it's just like, oh, can't talk about that.
Yeah, but I want discussions that have solutions and healing.
Well, of course, Sam, but that's because you want, like you say, solutions. You want honesty. That's just not really what the media is all about.
I get that you're right, Kurt. But I want a solution here. Right? I want an answer. I mean, in the day when we're going to pardon drug dealers like Barack or like Donald Trump did, are we going to, is a pardon kind of a man-made way of forgiveness, God's way, Kern? And I bring this up because we believe in the principle, kind of, right? So my headline for this now, Kurt, I just wrote my headline for my comments at the end of the last hour. My point about we got to double down on this repentance and forgiveness idea. Because I believe that's where the real answers are. All right? It says Sam doubles down on the principles of repentance and forgiveness. Dash Christ-centered solutions. What do you think? Think they're going to let me go on TV and talk about him, Kurt?
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm calling God a he. I just am. He loves us, ladies and gentlemen. Never forget the truth. He is your Father in heaven. Even Christ, at the end of his life, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, that's powerful, my fellow Americans. Man, that is powerful, baby. And we better, you know, you could say, well, Sam, you're getting too Christian on us. All right, fine. We'll just switch gears and talk about the actress Anne Hathaway then.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do that, Kurt?
All right.
She's really promoting, like I am, peace and solutions and prosperity and repentance and forgiveness and coming together and solutions and working together and forgiveness. Okay, she's just on it, Kurt, on fire, right?
Not the headline from Breitbart, actress Anne Hathaway calls for destruction of the myth of whiteness. Yeah, I guess the New York Post story reports that Anne Hathaway received the National Equality Award. I didn't even know there was one, but anyway. And during her speech, she said, quote, I think I'm probably walking around like most people right now. Yeah. I'm pretty shell-shocked by what I see every day, what I hear every day, and I really don't like to admit this, but I get scared. This is, like, by the way, the lady that performed, I guess, in the Les Miserables, one of the most recent ones that they've done about it. She ranted against what's called whiteness and straightness. I guess she reportedly said, with the exception of being a cisgender male, everything about how I was born has put me at the current center of a damaging and widely accepted myth. That myth is that gayness orbits around straightness, transgender orbits around cisgender, and that all races orbit around whiteness. End quote. Finally, the 35-year-old actress, this is a Breitbart piece, by the way, said that together they will destroy those myths. Quote, we are not going to just question this myth. We are going to destroy it. by the way, she's a longtime supporter of left-wing causes. She recently claimed that all black people are fearing for their lives in the United States. She said, white people, including me, including you, must take into the marrow of our privileged bones the truth that all black people fear for their lives daily in America and have done so for generations. White people do not have equivalents for this fear of violence, she wrote. Following the death of a black woman who was stabbed in a San Francisco train station attack. By the way, last year, Hathaway also blasted Hollywood for not being a place of equality. Now, you know, Sam, I used to be a big fan of Anne Hathaway, and this was when at least she did some movies. Like, one of my favorites was Other Side of Heaven. Then she was in Princess, what's it called? Anyway, a couple of cool little, you know, good family movies, that kind of thing. But she has since, I guess you could call it, elevated herself. And to me, she's like the average politician that goes back to Washington, D.C. and drinks the Kool-Aid or the Potomac and just kind of gets lost. And now that's what's happened to her.
Do you know what cisgender means, Kurt?
I don't know if I really want to know, but yeah, go ahead and tell me.
No, you want to look it up. Look it up, Kurt. Type in cisgender.
Okay.
C-I-S-G-E-N-D-E-R. You need to know this.
Yeah.
Right? It's weird.
It's a new word for our time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, did you look it up, Kurt? Type in cisgender define.
Cisgender meaning. I got it. Is that okay? It says denoting or relating to a person whose sense of personal identity and gender corresponds with their birth sex. So I guess we're cisgender?
Well, no. Be careful, my friend. Okay. You've been duped. And I did this to you on purpose.
Yeah.
To make the point. You and I would agree that we are the gender that our birth sex would denote, right? Say yes, because that's right. And then I'll tell you how they're playing games and you're being deceived in a second. We agree that whatever gender we were born, gender is an eternal characteristic of the human experience. Male and female created them is the point. Don't forget, he created them, us. Okay, so we agree that we are the sex that we were born as. The flies in the ointment, I'll explain in a second. What is cisgender? Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left and I was so mad I got out and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money and then I dropped it in the water and I was late for history and so at lunchtime I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which of course our library didn't have. So I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout and then he read my history paper while I was in the pool and of course I forgot got the bibliography, so I had to do that with my mother when I got home, and it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning, and I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew, but my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team, and, you know, I'm just not gonna go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
What is the definition is one of the big keys you got to learn to ask, because they play games and the definition you think of something ain't the definition they think of something, folks. I'll give you the example. Cisgender, C-I-S, gender, all right, is the association between your birth gender at birth, right? And what you, well, be careful what you identify as. I'm going to say that again. They say cisgender is, Kurt, if you are born and the doctor says to you, it's a boy, or to your mother, it's a boy, and then you grow up and identify as a man, Kurt, you're cisgender, as opposed to transgender. Here's the fly in the ointment. You and I would say that God, he, I'm not allowed to say he, but I'm going to do it anyway, God, he created male and female, and that gender is an eternal characteristic of humans. It isn't assigned at birth. So the second you adopt their language, you now agree that, well, you were assigned that at birth. It isn't true. We believe that it's an eternal characteristic. It doesn't get assigned at birth when you get a body. All right? So that first assigned word, you got to be very careful with. Because if you believe that, well, it was assigned at birth, then you got to discuss by who, right, Kurt? By the doctor that said it was a boy? What if you want to reassign that? If the doctor can assign you one thing, you can certainly overrule the doctor. It's your body. So this assigned word, you got to be very careful with. The other word you got to be very careful with, Kurt, is, do you identify as a man, Kurt?
I guess the whole identify thing, it is really trap.
It's a trap. It's exactly right. So if you say you identify as a man, you could identify as something else by choice, couldn't you? So this lie of assignment and by this choice, they want you to believe that you're just exercising your free agency, Kurt, that you can do whatever you want to, but it's an absolute perverted satanic lie. Okay? Because they say the word exists as an equal to transgender. Uh-huh. Right? The best parallel is homosexual and heterosexual. There was homosexual people, and then everyone else was considered to be the normal people, right? Now people think of themselves as straight or heterosexual. That adjective probably applies to a significant portion of the population. So what you're talking about is it's a matter of perception, it's a matter of, quote, assignment, and it's a matter of identification, what you identify as. So let me say it differently. I don't believe that I was assigned male at birth. I believe I was born a male because it's an eternal characteristic of humans. Male and female created them. God created me as a male. And at birth, I continued to be a male. And I wasn't assigned anything. And I don't identify as a male. I am a male. The second you let those words replace the reality, you're now off on a never ending circular logic quest that will never be fulfilled, because now you got to debate assignment at birth, cisgender, transgender, what you identify as. So understand that you got to go back to the Latin a little bit to get this, Kurt, if you're ready. I don't mean to make this too complicated, but I want you to understand how deceptive this becomes. If you go back to the prefix in Latin, Kurt, of cis, it means on this side of, whereas trans means on the other side of. So transatlantic means on the opposite side of the Atlantic. But you don't see the prefix outside of like laboratories and strange places that they carry the Latin for, but they do here. Cisgender is now seeing an uptick in use. But the second you say that you're not a male, or that you're a cisgender and that those terms are synonymous, you fall into their trap. Right? You fall into their trap because now we're going to say, well, you know what? I'm glad you were assigned your male status at birth. I'm glad a doctor did that for you, Kurt. It matches your body type. And I'm glad that you identify as that. But you know all that is up for grabs. Up for interpretation, up for, quote, redefinition. And that's the problem. That's the issue here. And I know it sounds crazy. It's like, come on, Sam. You know, this is too weird. I get it. I agree. But I'm telling you, they're moving you to this language because then every bit of it for the next generation is lost. You don't know what cis and trans mean. You don't understand the Latin root. You don't say created he them. It was assigned. So now you replace this creation of God by an assigned by man or a doctor. And then you identify, which means, you know what? You can identify as whatever you want to tomorrow. And it really comes down to this gender fluidity idea that man can decide gender not God. And that's where the deception happens. So, Kurt, I agree that at first surface look, you could say a cisgender is you and me, Kurt. But I submit to you that it isn't true. Because when you accept that title or that term, you then accept all those words that lead to that term. You, by default, embrace them or accept them. If you accept cisgender, then you accept assignment at birth. You accept identify with. You accept this language that then paints the narrative and paints you into a corner. I say that God lives. And I say he's a he. And he created us male and female. And that cannot change and cannot be reassigned and cannot be manipulated by man. We have choices, no doubt about it. But there are consequences to those choices. And when we turn away from God and replace God with the arm of flesh or with man, we are on the wrong road. And let's never lose sight of that. Anyway, I digress, Kurt, but I wanted to make that very clear. It's hard for people to understand and think through this stuff. It's complicated as all get out. But I want to talk about this destruction of the myth of whiteness by Anne Hathaway or whatever. I don't know what she's talking about, Kurt. It isn't a myth that I'm white. Right? That's not a myth, is it, Kurt?
Not that I understand. But see, this is Hollywood, Sam. They can just make up things as they go. And, you know, I mean, they can change things. A white person can be black.
No.
A black person can be white.
No.
I mean, it's Hollywood, you know.
I'm telling you right now. So it's not a myth that I'm a male either, is it, Kurt?
Not.
I am a white male, and that's not a myth. That's called reality.
But I'm a country bumpkin compared to
that ain't a myth
these,
either.
You know, smart people.
Right now, Anne is a woman, female. Kurt, that's not a myth. That's the truth. Okay, now, is she black, Kurt?
Not that I
Or is she white?
I'd call her a white.
Okay, so I'm a male. She's a female. There's no myth there. By the way, God created us that way. It's not just an assignment or an identification or something we just choose today or something. It's reality. Reality is things as they really are. And I don't know what she's talking about, this myth of whitenesses or whatever. I'm white. But I don't believe I should treat anybody any differently because of the color of their skin. And I believe we all need to be God's children, and we all need to learn to repent and forgive and treat one another kindly. And we need to learn to live within our bodies and have our bodies obey the laws of God. And the more we do those things, the more we'll be blessed. And the more we turn away from those things, the consequences shall surely follow, Kurt.
Yep.
I call that reality. So, Ann, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure disappointed. Because when you start talking about the destruction of the myth of whitenesses and the destruction of the myth of male and female, you're striking at the very heart of all that God created is what you're doing. All right, Stacey Abrams is in the news. Kurt, you know who this lady is?
You know, it's the last name rings a bell.
Stacey Abrams
know.
Is down there in Georgia, and she's running for the gubernatorial slot there,
okay.
If you will.
All right.
And I guess she refuses to reveal the sources of her millions of dollars in donations.
Okay.
Now, what do you think of that, Kurt? You want to respond to this?
Well, let's see. Let me ask this question. We know she's a lady.
No, we don't know
that. One,
if we accept our laws and God's laws, then we absolutely know that. But according to them... Maybe not,
well,
Kurt.
They,
she can change her mind
tomorrow.
The story
says she...
I know, but they ought to be just shot down for their abuse of the English language.
Point.
They're not allowed to identify her as that for herself.
Sister.
She should be able to identify it, not they, Kurt.
And then she could just come up with something new every day.
Sure.
All right. well, now the next question is, what color is she, Sam?
Don't know. Don't care, yeah. But I don't know.
Then she's going to get some passes if she's the right color.
Find out what color she is, Kurt. We'll get back to that. But anyway, I find this fascinating because is that vote fraud, Kurt? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
All right, happy to have you along. We're talking about this lady, Stacey Abrams. I guess she's in Georgia running for the governor slot there. And I guess she's got millions in donations, and she won't let anybody know the source. Right? Refuses to reveal the source of her millions in donations, and I'm calling it vote fraud, Kurt, because you know what? There's laws against that. What if she's getting it from the Russians? Now, you can debate about laws and stuff, but they're on the books, Kurt. And if you want to change the laws, there's a process to do that, but you don't just thumb your nose at them. And the bottom line is, if you have millions dumping into your campaign and you can change the election results because of those millions, and you won't reveal, according to the law, the source of those millions, at some point, Kurt, it's vote fraud.
By the way, she's a lifetime, according to Wikipedia, Sam, she's a lifetime member of the Council on Foreign Relations. So she gets a big pass, Sam.
She's also a black lady, Kurt.
That's right.
Now, by the way, I don't have any problem with her being black. I would like her to run on her own merits, and I'd like her to articulate the issues as she sees them and what she'd do to make things better. And if the citizens agree with her and they vote, and the votes are counted honestly and fairly, and she gets elected, fine.
Both her parents, according to Wikipedia, were reverends, if you will. And their sister is a federal judge in the Middle District of Georgia. So
there you have it. Ladies, a vote fraud. Another quick vote fraud story. I guess a Mexican now, Kurt, pleads guilty for, quote, voter fraud charges, will be deported after serving time in jail.
Yeah.
How do they say there's no vote fraud with that going on, Kurt? You got a guy in court literally pleading guilty, serving jail time, and then getting deported over it. So how do you say Donald's not right, Kurt?
Good point.
Well, there's not really any vote fraud. That was just a small example. Okay. So you got this lady in Georgia with millions. You got this Mexican literally manipulating votes. I mean, how many times do we have to see this kind of vote fraud to admit that it's real? All right. I guess there's another actress to kind of double back on this story. Her name is what? Yeah. Fanny Newton, Kurt?
Well, yeah, I guess they had something, another program that I missed. They had what they called the Emmys, Sam. And during that, this lady, yeah, her name is Thandi Newton, T-H-A-N-D-I-E.
Thandi,
I
all right.
Even heard
whatever.
Of that kind of name. But anyway, she says, I don't even believe in God, but I'm going to thank her tonight. So it kind of goes along with what you been talking about. But it's just more Hollywood crazy stuff, right?
And here's what's weird. Why would you thank someone you don't believe in, first of all? Secondly, if you're not allowed to call God a he, you shouldn't be able to call her a she. And if they're not going to use these, quote, pronouns at all, then this lady's way off the path, right, Kurt? But see, they don't really care about the words they use. What they care about is destroying everything that you and I hold dear. Everything that points us to God, family, and country, they want to destroy. Everything that relates to the protection of life, liberty, and property, they want to destroy. Anything that gets you to repent and forgive, they want to reject. Anything that leads you to peace as opposed to war, they want to reject. It's just what they're doing. And you can see it in every element of our society. All right, I guess there's a Louisiana Republican, Kurt, in the news. He's a representative. His name is Clay Higgins. You know about this guy?
I don't.
Louisiana Republican Rep Clay Higgins.
All right.
He introduced a resolution into Congress, Kurt.
Yes.
That would require members of Congress to be drug tested every term.
Yeah. How about daily?
Well, I'm just saying it's kind of interesting. He's saying, hey, we got to drug test these guys, man. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, it's like these... I think there's been quite a bit of talk about drug testing the people that get, like welfare and that kind of thing. And people say, that's invasion of privacy and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's ever, been passed at all. But you'd sure think that Congress, those guys that are making those important laws, they ought to be alcohol free, because we wouldn't want them to, have their, faculties just messed up there. I mean, and then drugs would certainly be part of it, right?
Well, I have to agree with the guy. And you would say, Sam, we need to have the general population drug tested. And my question is, who works for who around here? And that's something we really need to kind of double down and discuss and think about and consider, right? Who works for who around here? And I think that, we ought to make sure that these representatives aren't on drugs. We ought to make sure that there's truth in what they do. So I find that an interesting thing, but you're not going to hear much about that, are you, Kurt?
I don't think so, Sam.
All right. You're going to love this USA Today story, Kurt. Daily aspirin could cause more harm than good, writes USA Today.
Well, I've been saying this for a long time, but, you have a lot of people who promote this idea, and I just disagree. I think... we ought to follow Nancy Reagan's advice, say no to drugs, Sam?
Wait a minute, Kurt. You're suggesting these stories are related?
Well, yeah. I think drugs are not good for you.
What if we get congressmen and senators that are super old because they've been there forever? They're like fixtures in Congress. Prop me up beside the jukebox before I die, kind of an idea. And or when I die. But you kind of go... What if these congressmen and senators are like on daily doses of aspirin?
Yeah. Good point.
Anyway, they say that it really could do a lot of harm, Kurt.
I agree.
Now, here's the question for the medical profession. I thought the Food and Drug Administration said that aspirin daily was safe and effective. No problem, Kurt.
Well, yeah, they said that about so many other things, too, Sam. All the, drugs that later the lawyers are coming on saying, hey, by the way, if you took this or your family member did before they died or whatever, get a hold of us because, you know, we'll get you some money. Yeah.
So I have a headline that says credibility crisis for the FDA, question mark?
Yeah.
Daily aspirin really could cause more harm than good. USA Today. Don't we really have a credibility crisis for these folks, Kurt?
Good point.
I think we do. How do they just literally tell you it's safe and effective for almost your whole life? I don't know when they came out and said that. But they've been saying it's fine forever, haven't they, Kurt?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
All right. This story is weird, and I don't know how to deal with it necessarily. Headline says Chicago braces for trial of officer who killed black teenager back in 2014. Mitch Smith, the author. Did you see this,
Let's
Kurt?
See. I got one little problem here, Sam, to start off with. It's called Speedy Trial. Let's see.
Oh, that's what I want to get to. Yes, sir.
We're
that's the whole reason to bring it up.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy literally killed this kid in 2014. And now that, you know, Chicago, almost 4 years ago, a white Chicago police officer fatally shot a black teenager named Laquin McDonald on a busy roadway. His death roiled the city, leading to upheaval in the police department, demonstrators in the streets, and murder charges against the officer, Jason Van Dyke. Now, Officer Van Dyke, his long-awaited trial is underway, with opening arguments possible on Monday. Here's some of the reasons that this case is so significant. They say Laquin McDonald was shot 16 times. Officer Van Dyke kept shooting, even after Laquin, who was 17, twisted and collapsed onto the street. The sheer quantity of bullets incensed most Chicago residents who thought one shot was too many, and that 16 seemed incomprehensible. A police dashboard cam video made that number just out of control when you saw it. The problem is the audio failed, so you couldn't hear what was said by whom. Wow. I guess he was breaking into vehicles and he got caught. Okay. Now, Laquin had a 3-inch folding knife in his hand. We'll talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Hey, As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about this interesting case in Chicago. Chicago braces for trial of officer who killed black teenager in 2014. Mitch Smith writes the article. Kurt's right. 4 years later, we don't even have a trial yet. But a white Chicago police officer literally fired a gun 16 times and killed this black kid. Officer Van Dyke's long-awaited trial is now underway. The sheer quantity of bullets are making everybody freak out. The bottom line is the video cameras show the shooting, but the audio is turned off, so you can't hear the firing of bullets or the comments at all. I guess Mr. LeQuinn, or this guy named LeQuinn that got shot, this kid, was caught breaking into vehicles. And I guess when officers arrived, this LeQuinn kid was holding a 3-inch folding knife. As a growing number of officers began to follow him as he took police on a foot chase, I guess he popped the tires of a police cruiser with his knife on the way. The officers followed from at a distance for some blocks and then called on the radio for backup, saying we need somebody to come here with a taser. Then Officer Van Dyke arrived. He jumped out of his police cruiser with his gun drawn and within seconds started shooting. Now, I guess there were 7 other officers there, and no one else used their guns. Bottom line is this has a very, very strange scenario. Rahm Emanuel was running in 2015, so they kept the story secret, many claim, because they didn't want him to face a difficult election with that kind of a situation to deal with. Of course, Emanuel and others deny it. Nevertheless, it turns out the video of this murder was kept secret for 13 months. The public didn't get to see the video until November 2015, and it only came out after a judge ordered the city of Chicago to release it. Wow. So there you have it, Kurt. You've got a situation where government is hiding the evidence. They said, well, the reason they were hiding the evidence is they had to do their due diligence on Officer Van Dyke. Now they've filed murder charges against Van Dyke, and time will show. Now they're picking jury members, and the battle is, well, the prosecution and the defense, they're only picking people based on the color of their skin there, Kurt. It's a big epic battle in Chicago with nothing but divide. But I'm saying, look, I think that this officer was out of control. I don't know all the internal details, so I don't know. And I think it's wrong for this kid to literally steal from vehicles, literally run around with a knife and literally cut police, you know, cruisers' tires. But I'm not so sure this kid should die. There's a lot of missteps in this case. But I think the officer was way too out of control, way too gun trigger happy. And I think the excessive force used here is absolutely unacceptable. I get it. But I don't want race to enter into this, Kurt. I want accountability to enter into this. And when we've got a situation where this poor guy's been on trial for what? Or held from trial for 4 long years? Where's the speedy trial? when this situation of the video was literally buried by the government for 13 months until a judge forced the release? You've got obstruction of justice going on here. You've got tampering with evidence, withholding exculpatory evidence is how they say it. That's what happened to the Bundys in this situation. And if you're not very careful, the government's going to tamper with this case and the cops are going to get off, and then you're going to have mayhem in the streets. We need to return to the principles that made America great, Kurt. Speedy trials, transparent evidence, a jury of one's peers. But this Chicago guy, I'm not defending him. I think the cop's out of line, but I also think that he needs a speedy trial, Kurt. You want to comment on this one?
Yeah, just imagine if we return to, Constitution where it talks about speedy trials, you know. And not 4 years later or 20 years later, they get their just desserts, you know. While they wait in jail. Wow.
So now they're saying even if Officer Van Dyke is convicted of murder, which could lead to a life sentence in prison, they say systemic problems remain unsolved.
Yeah.
I agree with that, Kurt.
Yeah, me too.
Wow. It's just weird stuff. All right, Kurt, you want to live longer?
It's probably preferable to the other option.
Well, there's a solution for you, my friend.
Uh-huh.
They say what you need to do if you want to live longer. This is USA Today.
Yes.
They're linking fasting to longevity, Kurt.
Imagine that, Sam. I mean, that's just such a way-out idea, isn't it?
Well, Kurt's been fasting for a long time. Haven't you, Kurt?
Yes.
I mean, you fast, like, several times a week, pretty much.
Well, it all depends on what you call fasting.
I'll just make it really simple for you.
Yeah.
Anytime you go for a long time without food, you're fasting.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah, the headline from USA Today on this one says, "Want to live longer? NIA study links fasting to longevity." And, if you wonder what the NIA is, that's the National Institute on Aging, and everybody knows we need one of those for sure. But this is a group of scientists from this group, and then the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the Pennington Biomedical Research Center in Louisiana, they found that increasing time between meals improved the overall health of male mice.
So see, they're defining fasting as the increased time between meals, Kurt. And I would kind of go a little further and say eating, right?
Yeah, good point.
Because some people would say, I never have a meal, I just eat all day.
Yeah, that's right. And they say, and lengthened their lives compared to mice that ate more frequently. Perhaps even more surprisingly, they say the health benefits were seen regardless of what the mice ate or how many calories they consumed. The study showed that mice who ate one meal per day and thus had the longest fasting period seemed to have a longer lifespan and better outcomes for common age-related liver disease and metabolic disorders. That's what the one big shot there said. He said that the intriguing results in the animal model, guess what, Sam? They deserve a closer look. So what do these researchers want to do? Well, they want to study this more, Sam. They want to use more dollars to figure this out. Yeah, they say prolonged daily fasting times could help improve health and survival for humans. That's what the study's lead author said, but scientists are working to find out how long you need to fast every day to see some of the benefits seen in the animals. That's the next big question to answer. Oh, yeah, that's the next big question.
I'm not really for government spending. In fact, what if we just have Kurt Crosby respond to this, and then they don't need to spend the money, Kurt? You want to give them a little bit of insight?
Good point. They say to reach their conclusion, the experts studied 292 mice, not 293 or 291, 292 mice, separating them into two groups and closely monitoring the rodent's diet. One batch was fed a low-fat and naturally sourced diet. The other group's diet was higher in protein and fiber. Each of the two groups was then split into three subgroups, one with access to food 24 hours a day and another with 30% fewer calories per day. The third group only had access to food once per day. The results? We think what's going on when you stop eating for X number of hours, your metabolism goes into standby mode. Your body fixes and removes all the garbage during this time. When the next feeding comes, you're better prepared for the energy you're about to consume, they say. Well, anyway, there you go, Sam.
What do you think, Kurt? How long is it? What's X? They're trying to solve for X, sir.
Well, I think it's really interesting when you talk to some people and they say, look, you're supposed to eat at 6 o'clock at night and then don't eat till tomorrow morning at 6 or something like that. Well, that's 12 hours, isn't it? At least in the
yes, sir.
Math that I could figure
but
out.
But you're sleeping now.
So tell me the difference in somebody who eats, like, say, 11 o'clock at night and then eats the next day at 11 o'clock. Isn't that 12 hours?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
10 is 12 hours.
Yeah. So anyway, I suggest that you eat when you're hungry and you rest when you're tired.
Well,
and
people,
you drink
some people
when
would sleep
thirsty.
And eat all the time, Kurt.
Okay. Well, anyway, then I suggest they need to eat better quality nutrients.
Now, I think now you're onto something. Here's what I would say. I think when we eat the wrong nutrients and when we don't exercise and when our sleeping and our eating is all out of whack because sugar and some of the chemicals in our food, you know, kind of create this addiction and create this always hungry, never satisfied idea, we need to get back to the basics in food. And then when we do and we're not addicted and when we don't have these chemicals that literally encourage us to eat and stimulate the brain and do all these things, when you get back to the natural foods and you get your sleep rhythms in balance and everything else, then I agree with you, Kurt. I think you're right. But right now, I submit to you, they're being intentionally tampered with.
Good point.
What do you think? You think that's right? So I, if we can get back to the natural rhythm of things, I think what your points are very valid. I think oftentimes, too, when you're hungry, you're really thirsty.
Yep, good point.
I think we have a societal kind of misunderstanding about that. We just think, oh, man, I'm hungry. But oftentimes, we're really thirsty and dehydrated a little bit. And I think learning to identify and learning to listen to your body and getting more natural food and more nutrients and things like that, the more things get in balance, I believe the more you have the ability to properly assess what you really need. And the more you go away from the natural foods and away from natural exercise and away from, then I think it's harder and harder and harder for people to tell because the intentional chemicals and things that are in foods are literally intentionally sending missed signals to your mind, to your brain, and thus, to a great degree, controlling your behavior. Am I crazy on that, Kurt?
Sounds like maybe conspiring men are working on
that. I believe that, absolutely. Now, you can call me a conspiracy nut if you choose.
There you go again.
But I'm convinced that that's the truth. And so, really, I think Kurt's advice is wise advice. Incredible advice. But you need to get your body and your sleep and your nutrients and all those things in proper, you know, what do you want to say, relationships or, you know, get a circumstance to where you can listen to your body and your body can send real signals that you can learn to trust and rely on. And when you do that, I think Kurt's advice is incredible. Just my two cents on it. I don't know if we are the nutrition gurus, but there you have it. Go to more natural foods. Learn to listen to your body. Get a lot more water. Get a lot less food. Learn to fast or have time between your meals. And hey, things seem to work out a whole lot better for folks. Pretty soon, all kinds of ailments start going away. That's the good news. All right, 2 hours in the can. Thanks so much, Kurt. Thanks to all of you for listening. Tell all your friends about the broadcast. It's free at libertyroundtable.com. If you have the heart to help, donate today to the Widow's Mite Radio Network. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media and tell the tale of liberty, as we always do. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America. Hey, thanks.